Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Do-It-To-Yourself division here at Car Talk Plaza. Well, you know, summer has finally arrived. That means that many of you will be taking your annual stab at doing it yourself. That is, repairing something on your car. Now, maybe you need to change the plugs or replace a belt, or if you drive a real beast like my brother, you'll be taking a hammer and chisel to that pile of crud that's built up on the floor of your trunk.
Floor? It's on the front seat.
In any case, those are all, you know, pretty minor repairs. But why not challenge yourself this year by attempting something more ambitious and really doing it to yourself? How about attempting like a clutch replacement? Cool. Well, I can tell you from personal experience that there's nothing quite like that moment when you realize that a 200-pound hunk of steel is slipping through your fingers and heading right for your noggin as you're lying on that creeper. Now that's doing it to yourself. It really is.
I can remember the very time that it happened to me, and that was the beginning of the end.
It was.
Yeah.
It was indeed the beginning of the end. By the way, I should mention the
Does
reason.
Does it say FOMOCO on my head?
I think so. I should mention that we don't get enough calls from people all out in their driveways screwing up their own cars.
We used to. In the old days, we would get calls just exactly like that. Some guy would call and say, hey, I got my transmission out, and it's on my driveway, and I'm trying to figure out something. And we would tell him exactly what to do, right down to the size of the wrench that he should be using.
Yeah, maybe they don't call because what we told them to do was wrong. They don't call anymore. Anyway, speaking of things that you shouldn't do, you plan on reading any mail, or can we just hit the phones?
Oh, have I got mail?
Okay, go for it.
A lady named Linda went to Arkansas last week to visit her in-laws. And while she was there, she went to a store. She parked next to a car with a woman sitting in it. Her eyes were closed and her hands were behind her head, apparently sleeping. She was apparently sleeping. When Linda came out a while later, she again saw the woman, her hands still behind her head, but with her eyes open. The woman looked very strange, so Linda tapped on the window and said, "Are you okay?" The woman said, "I've been shot in the head, and I'm holding my brains in." That'll shock you, won't it? Linda didn't know what to do, so she ran into the store where store officials called the paramedics. When they opened the car, they found the woman had bread dough on the back of her head and in her hands. A Pillsbury biscuit canister had exploded, apparently from the heat in the car, making a loud explosion like that of a gunshot, and it hit her in the back of the head. Ah. When she reached back to find out what it was, she felt the dough and thought it was her brains leaking out. She passed out from fright and then attempted to hold in her brains. That could scare the living daylights out of you.
It sure could.
Boom! You reach back and you feel this gooey mass. What else can you imagine?
Well, if it were your case, you wouldn't have to worry about your brains being shot out. If you'd like to call us with a question about your car, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary from Atlanta.
Mary?
Mary from Atlanta with a magnificent southern accent.
Oh, well, I'm glad you like it.
You probably don't notice that you have an accent.
I don't have an accent. You have an accent.
Right, exactly. I knew you were going to say that.
You're from New Jersey, aren't you?
No.
Yes, and they shipped us to Massachusetts in the Witness Protection Program.
How are you, Mary?
I'm fine.
Good.
What can we do for you?
Well, I have a problem, and it's a car problem, but it's really a mechanic problem.
Oh, jeez.
And I have these wonderful mechanics, and they're great guys, and they're really honest. It's just that I don't trust them to repair my car.
Mm. Yeah, well, see, you got two choices when you get a mechanic. Either you get competence or you get honesty.
Yes.
And as far as we know, those two things have never occurred in the same person.
In the same person.
Anywhere on this planet.
Well, you know why? Because if you're smart enough to be competent, then you're smart enough to be dishonest.
Exactly.
but go ahead, tell us your tale of woe.
Well, my tale of woe is that for regular maintenance, I've been going to these guys for 20 years. They'll rescue me anywhere. I mean, if I broke down on the New Jersey Turnpike, they would have a cousin who would come and find me. I feel like that when I started listening to you, I didn't. It's not because of cars. I just enjoyed you, but I thought, this is it. You can tell me what the problem is, and I can walk in and say, hey, Herman, I need a new belt on my front right gasket.
Yeah. So you'll be calling like every week now.
No, I've got a Toyota. I don't have any trouble with this car.
Well, I have to say that these guys, whoever they may be, are a treasure.
I know they are. That's why I'm calling you, because I thought if you could tell me the problem, then I could have
Oh, so you have an existing problem right now.
The existing problem right now is that about a couple of times a week I go out and I turn my key on and nothing happens. And it's always when it's been sitting, because my first thought is, oh, God, I left my lights on. You know, that dead silence with no battery. I turn it off, turn it back on, starts right up. It's been going on for about 3 months. And, of course, my fear is that I'm going to turn it the second time and it's not going to go on.
Is this a Corolla?
It's a Toyota Corolla 91. I've had no trouble with it.
Stick shift?
Huh? No, automatic.
Automatic. It's one of two things. Either it's the ignition switch.
Okay, it isn't that one.
But I don't think it's the ignition switch.
What do you think it is?
Okay.
Since you said that it's an automatic.
Right.
I think it's the neutral safety switch.
Okay, it isn't that either.
Oh, come on!
Oh, no.
Oh,
this is
come
getting
on.
Beyond Herman's expertise.
Those were two zingers in there, man.
Those are two zingers. However, I must fall back on my vast experience with Corollas.
Ah.
It's the starter motor.
It's the starter motor?
Yeah,
these starter motors are gear reduction starter motors.
Uh-huh.
And while it could be something like a bad battery or a bad connection at the battery, it's more likely the starter motor itself. And the symptom is classic. You turn the key, nothing. And sometimes when it gets bad, you'll turn the key again and again and again, and nothing will happen. You will hear, however, the solenoid in the starter trying to motorize the starter. You'll hear the solenoid click. If you listen carefully, you'll hear a clunk, clunk, dunk. If you're not cursing, you'll hear the dunk, dunk, dunk.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, the thing, you'll go dunk, and start right up. And what's going to happen over the long run is that the dunk, dunk, dunks will get more frequent, and eventually it won't start at all for you, and you'll have to have the starter replaced.
Well, how many thunk, thunk, thunk did I go through?
Exactly. How many dunks does she have?
I would go to 5 or 6 dunks.
5 or 6 dunks.
Oh, so.
And is this beyond Herman's expertise, or should I get a qualified mechanic?
No. Herman, if you could diagnose it, he can do it, right?
Right.
So sure.
I need a starter motor.
I think so.
This is going to break their hearts. I'm the only person in Atlanta who knows less about repairing cars than they did.
Well, you used to be, right? So you can tell them that, and if you want some corroboration, you can. They've had the car overnight and haven't been able to reproduce it?
No, I haven't taken it in. I want to know what's wrong before I take it in.
Right, she's using her new strategy.
Yes,
she's not
going to
bring it in
strategy.
Until she just says, replace my starter motor. That's it.
And they'll say, and how do you know, Mary, you need a new starter motor?
Yeah.
And I'll just say, trust me.
Trust me.
That's it. There you go.
Yeah.
Listen, you guys are great. I love your program.
Well, a pleasure talking to you, Mary.
Good luck, Mary.
Uh-huh.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Dave from Essex, Connecticut.
Hello, Dave. This is Hal. Essex,
Dave.
Connecticut.
Yep.
Didn't you see 2001?
I sure did. Yeah. I know Hal well.
You know who Dave is.
So what's going on, Dave?
Well, I got a 1989 Isuzu Trooper. I'm experiencing a groaning noise with the braking, and in particular when I'm going at real slow speed and turning the wheel. But I don't experience any grinding feeling or anything like that.
So there you are. You're driving along. You're going to take a right turn or something, and you step on the brake, and as you're taking the turn, you hear...
Yep, exactly it.
Isn't that perfect?
Mm.
I have no idea what it is.
Does that mean I'm in trouble?
How long has the noise been there?
It's been there for about a month now.
I don't think it's the brakes.
Uh-huh.
Well, brakes mostly don't groan. The only time that brakes groan is if you're parked on a steep hill, if you're stopped on a steep hill, for example, waiting for a light, and you very, very lightly start to take your foot off the brake, but you don't, otherwise you'd roll. Then the brakes will groan. Just like that. Mm-hmm. But you're moving. If you're moving, it's almost impossible for brakes to groan.
It is. Yeah. My brother's... Your car doesn't have any brakes.
I'm an expert on groans, not on brakes. On groans.
No, he's giving us all the... Your car doesn't have brakes, does it?
Not really.
No, I don't think so. That's how we know. I think it's rather a suspension kind of noise.
It certainly
sounds
suspension.
Maybe a dry bushing or something like that.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
That's what I would guess, too.
Yeah, and it has to do with the combination of, for example, if you're making a right-hand turn, the groan, I'm going to guess, is going to come from the left front.
There's a great deal of debate on exactly where it is coming from. We had four people in the Trooper. Everybody thought it was coming from where they were.
Well, that's because they were in the Trooper. You need to strap someone to the hood.
Oh, we can
do that. Or is it lashed? Lash someone.
I know just the guy.
I knew you would.
Your father-in-law, right?
No.
Yeah, I mean, it might be just a spring mount. It might be a control arm bushing. And I'll bet you if you take it into the shop, you can make it happen by getting a real heavy person to stand on one end of the bumper and make it compress that
shock. With the vehicle not moving, you might be able to compress the spring by pushing on that one corner of the car, and by doing so, make the control arm bushings work and the ball joints and all that stuff, and you'll find the noise.
Yeah.
And you do that with the wheels turned over, like you were parking in the garage?
Sure.
Put it over to a right turn?
Yeah, exactly. Shut the engine off and just have a very heavy person push down or sit on that right front fender or the left front fender. The other person crawl underneath the car, and I bet you can reproduce it. And then you'll be able to find out exactly where it is.
Uh-huh.
Is your mother-in-law busy this weekend?
One way to do it is if you're down under the car and you still can't tell where the sound is coming from, start feeling things. Because a lot of times when you can't really locate the sound, you can feel where it's coming from.
Okay, we'll try that.
And make sure that they don't push hard enough on that to crush your skull while you're under there. That's always a danger, you know.
Yeah.
So I just got to pick the proper weight person.
There you go.
All righty.
See you, Dave.
We'll do that. Thank you.
Good luck.
All right.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Deb from Germantown, Maryland.
Deb.
Hi, I have a 1981 BMW 528i.
81, an oldie.
Yeah, it was given to us by my father-in-law. Anyway, I was driving it out on the highway with my husband one day, and we came to a stop, and I was going to jump out of the car to adjust my daughter's car seat, and before I came to a complete stop, I managed to get it into park.
And you heard that awful ratcheting sound.
From the car and then from my husband.
Yeah.
he sounded worse than the car. He started to whine. Yeah. The car stopped making a noise.
Yeah. It did.
Yeah, you lose.
Yeah.
And what I want to know is, you know, the car is fine now, and I've been driving it like crazy, and he's surprised the car didn't fall apart right there. And I maintain that any car that can't take one or two of these things in its lifetime doesn't deserve to be on the road.
Oh, you've done it more than once then, eh?
No,
one or two?
But I only do these things only when he's sitting next to me in the car.
Yeah,
right.
It's tension. He probably makes you nervous.
He does.
Well, I threatened to make him wear a bag over his head so he couldn't see the road, you know. Those white knuckles, the sun bouncing off them really gets.
Well, I used to believe that I only went through red lights by mistake when there were other people in the car. Because I'd be driving with somebody like my wife.
Right,
and
right,
she'd say,
right.
Jeez, I just went through a red light.
She's distracting you.
Well, I realized after careful study one day.
Yeah, by the police.
Yeah, and a few arrests, that it was I that was going through the red lights without any distractions.
He also does this when I accidentally lug the engine in the truck, so, you know. But, of course, I do that when he's around, too. Anyway.
Well, you know, men have to display their superiority wherever we can.
Because we have so little.
We have so little areas in which we have superiority. That whenever a situation occurs in which we can point out to you, here's something that I'm not a real moron at, then we are forced to do that because we know that in 99% of all situations in life, women are superior. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, we begin to feel, you know, small. And so we need to...
Useless. Humble.
Yeah. So we need to somehow build ourselves up. Our self-image is bad. Yeah. So every chance we get, you do that and you're done for. You probably didn't do any harm.
Oh, you didn't do any harm. Had you done any harm, it would have been immediately obvious. You would have broken this little ratchet and paw mechanism. That is what makes the thing work in park. What it does is it locks the output shaft of the transmission so that the drive shaft can't turn. And when it can't turn, the back wheels must turn in opposite directions. And that's why the car won't roll when it's in park.
Uh-huh.
And had you done any, I'm sure you did some damage, but had you broken it, it would have been immediately obvious because park would cease to work.
Right.
You'd put it in park and the thing would roll away. And
that doesn't mean when it does
break a year from now,
that's exactly right.
You'll be blamed.
Yeah.
To answer your question, I would tell him not to be shook about what you did.
Okay.
And you only had the interest of your child at heart.
That's right.
Right.
Right? I mean, that was more important than the stupid parking pole and the transmission. Tell him to lighten up.
Yeah, exactly. Those are my words exactly. Next time he starts giving you, he starts ranting and raving about something like this, say, hey, hon, lighten up! And that'll do it.
Okay.
See you, Deb.
Good luck, Deb.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. Okay, this is the last time I get to ask this until what? September. You ready?
Yeah.
Do you remember last week's puzzle?
Well, what do you think?
Well, I'll give you some hints to help you get there. Fill in the blank. You ready?
Here we go again.
One of the worst mistakes a young husband can make is to forget his wife's first what?
I made this mistake once. First name.
Well,
yeah, that didn't go over well.
No, I was looking for first anniversary.
Oh.
Try another one. If you saw me walking down the street with a beret on my head, a baguette under my arm, and a Galois in my mouth, you might say, this guy must be blank.
I'd say this guy is a pretentious-looking jerk.
I was looking for French. The puzzle was about a French restaurant and a wedding anniversary. Remember it now?
No, I don't.
No, we'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
There's a two-door parked on the mound. I'm going to strip it down to the ground. The Saber Radar. The Saber Radar.
And even though Bastille Day celebrants decide to storm the NPR building whenever we say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
I have no recollection of last week's puzzler. I have to say that.
Really? Even with all the hints, huh?
Even with all the hints, yeah.
And we'll let you talk?
A pretentious jerk. My wife's first name.
Oh, forget it. Anyway, this was sent in by a fellow named Dave Moran, and I thought it was pretty cute. Turns out there's this fancy French restaurant called Café Pretension.
Oh.
They had started a new promotion. A married couple on their anniversary, purchasing an entree at the regular exorbitant price, would get the second entree free. So the wife would order what she wanted, for example, and the husband would get whatever he wanted on the house.
Yeah.
The promotion turned out to be a huge success. The restaurant, of course, required diners to bring some proof of the date of their marriage to get the discount, as you might expect.
So if you went there on the day of your anniversary.
Right.
Gotcha.
So one Wednesday night, a waiter comes to Francois, the owner, and says, "Boss, that couple over there is claiming that today is their anniversary, but they don't have any proof." Anyway, Francois goes over to the table.
Why are you talking like this?
Introduces himself and engages in a little, tete-a-tete with them, and he asks the woman, "Tell me about your wedding day." She says, "Oh, it was a beautiful Sunday morning. The birds were chirping as I opened my window to get ready for the wedding. I saw the flowers in bloom. It was spectacular. I remember it like it was yesterday."
Yeah.
She goes on to explain to Francois that today is their 28th wedding anniversary.
Mm.
He says, "Oh, how charming. But unfortunately, I don't believe a word you say, madame. You're a bold-faced liar. And he slaps her across the face, at the same time spilling her husband's vichyssoise onto his lap. And the question was, how did Francois know it was not their 28th wedding anniversary?
Wow. He was an idiot savant.
From where? From Savant.
From Savant, Georgia. Savanta, Georgia.
Well, it turns out that the calendar exactly repeats itself every 28 years. So if, in fact, they had gotten married on a Sunday
28 years ago, then it would be Sunday now.
Then it couldn't possibly be celebrated on a Wednesday.
Is this the Gregorian calendar?
This is the, yes, Julian, I believe.
Yeah.
So he knew they were lying because 28 years ago, it had to also have been
a Wednesday,
and it couldn't have been a Sunday.
Wow.
Right, and he spilled that good vichyssoise for nothing.
So you're absolutely sure of this 28-year thing?
No.
We're not going to get a lot of mail on this.
Well, I had the staff work on it. First, I put Dave Green right on it.
Yeah.
He comes back and says, it's 11 years. I said, I don't think so, Dave. That can't work. So Dave reassigned it to Rachel. And
she said, 7 years.
So we think 28's it.
Berman was way off. He said it was a year and a half. He's a moron.
But I'm sticking with the 28. Who's our winner, man?
The winner is Seth Tolman from Westerly, Rhode Island. Westerly, Rhode Island. There is such a place. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Seth will get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get a copy of our first ever music CD, Car Talk Cartoons, America's Best Disrespectful Car Songs. Seth, congratulations.
Hey, how's the basement cleanup going? You getting rid of any of those CDs?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I sold 3 cartons last week. I can almost get to the fuse box now.
Well, look, while we don't have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show, because it's what?
Summer.
It's on vacation.
Yeah.
We will tell you where you can find the puzzler this week online if you want one. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Naomi.
Hi, Naomi.
Naomi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, fine. I've been better.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay.
Where are you from, though?
Oh, Salt Lake.
Salt Lake.
Way over in, yeah, Utah.
Yeah.
So you're from England?
Yes, good.
Okay, just
not
a guess.
Not a Utah accent, huh?
But you've lived here for a while, haven't you?
Yep, exactly. Oh, you're good. Most people guess Australia. Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you how long you've lived
Australia,
here.
Australia, what's
okay,
that?
Let's hear. I'll give you money if you know.
I'd say you've lived here at least 12 years.
Oh, no, 7.
Oh, 7. That's pretty close.
Is it?
Actually, 12 might be close, too. Let's see. It's about 12, 7, yeah.
Yeah, 7, 7 to 12, yeah. My brother got a prison sentence that long once. 7 to 12.
7 to 12. Yeah, so what's up, Naomi?
Okay, I drive a Jetta, 85, I think. I've had it since November. It's been a pretty good car. It's got a little red light on the dashboard when for oil, I think is what it's for. But my oil's fine. It's clean, it's topped up. But this light goes off all the time, and it makes this noise. Yeah, exactly. I'm glad I didn't have to do it. And it's so loud. And it started doing it a while ago, and I thought I could deal with it, you know. But now it's almost nonstop, and it's, you know, kind of road rage is creeping up on me. I want to hit the car in front, and it won't stop unless I put it in neutral and rev. And I'm trying to make this trip up to Missoula soon. Don't want 8 hours of meh. You know, so I want to know. Here's my question.
Don't worry. You will not have 8 hours of that noise.
Okay.
I can just about guarantee you that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you might.
I think I will.
You're going to wish you had 8 hours of that noise. You got a lot of miles in this car, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It's, the odometer doesn't move anymore.
Oh.
It's that old.
Where did it stop? At like 150?
I don't. Yeah, around there.
You don't pay attention to much to this stuff, do you?
No, not the numbers, evidently. Well, 7, 12, 1.
7, 12, the light, I think it's oil, but I'm not sure.
Well, the light's kind of distracting and the noise, you know.
And of course, you haven't had anyone look at this.
Nah.
No, not yet.
This car has that little buzzer, which is under the dash, which is very difficult to find.
Okay.
But if you get it to make the noise, obviously, you can home in on it, so to speak.
Okay.
But it also has 2 oil pressure switches. Okay. One to detect excessively high oil pressure, mm-hmm. and one for low oil pressure.
Okay.
Now, if your pressure is either too low or too high, that's bad. If it's too low, it means you have either worn bearings or a bad oil pump. And if it's too high, it means the oil pressure relief valve is bad, and you're in danger of blowing off the oil filter, which could be pretty exciting.
And if the pressure is too low because of the other reasons, you're in danger of blowing the engine.
Because
it's not getting lubricated where it's supposed to get
so lubricated. So what you need to do is take the thing to a shop and have them test the oil pressure.
Well, she knows already.
Okay,
The sound stops when she revs it up.
That's why, is it? Okay, I was hoping it was like a wire, a short wire.
Dreaming.
Well, alternatively, it could be that the switch is bad.
Okay.
Have the oil pressure tested. Okay. When they verify the pressure is okay, they can replace those two switches.
Okay.
And you can get them at the Volkswagen dealer. They're probably less than $10 a piece.
Oh, and you should pray for this result.
Yeah, no kidding. Otherwise, it's going to be...
Otherwise, it's going to be no trip to Missoula.
Here's the order in which you pray for things.
Okay.
First, you pray that it's the one of these switches that's no good.
Okay.
Second, you pray that if it's not the switch, that the oil pressure is too high.
Too high.
Maybe.
What would I do then if it was too high?
Well, then you'd have to have them replace the oil pressure relief valve.
Okay. Right.
But you,
and number three, which you don't pray for, but which will happen if the other two are not true, is the oil pressure is too low.
Okay.
In which case, either you got to replace the oil pump, or worse than that, the engine is fried.
Mm. But I'm gonna be optimistic and say that I think it's the switch.
Okay.
But it would be nice to verify it, because it could be a couple of things which would definitely preclude driving to Missoula.
Right, and send us a postcard from Bear Lake. Because that's about as far as you're going to make it.
Okay, I'll send you one from Banff, Canada.
All right. See you, Naomi.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
By the way, my arms are killing me. I can barely lift my coffee cup off the table.
Too much exercise, right?
My wife took me to the gym the other day. She said, hon, you need to go to the gym.
I put her up to it.
And she had me do all this intense workout, running on the treadmill, curling, bench presses, leg stuff. It was interesting that I heard her on the phone before we left with the insurance agent. I don't know what it was about, but...
About the new policy.
Something about the policy, yeah. Foreign policy. I don't really know what she
meant. Don't worry about it.
I'm not.
No.
But I'm dying!
I wanted to read. It isn't really a letter. The letter just says, Dear Tommy, your car is 35 years old. It's time you did something else. It's sent to me by, I think, Jay Petros. And he sends me an ad... For a vehicle, although you wouldn't know it. I mean, you were just discussing the fact that you were exercising this weekend.
Yes.
And here it is. Forget that gymnasium membership. You won't need it when you drive this pre-power steering 1966 Dodge Dart. Exercise while you drive. Build upper arm strength every time you parallel park. 93,000 miles, four doors, beautiful aqua color, da-da-da-da-da. That's... The trouble now is that we separate everything in our lives.
We do.
You drive, and then where do you drive? You take you drive to the gym. You get out of your car. You go in the gym and you exercise.
Actually, if you just walked to the gym,
you
could save yourself the membership.
You could turn around and walk back.
There you go.
And you'd be done.
And save $1,000
a year.
Yeah. And the funniest thing is people drive to the gym and try to park as close to the door as they can possibly get.
So God forbid they should get
any exercise walking from the car to the front door of the gym.
Yeah.
Go figure.
You need a machine to walk? What are we, morons? You don't need no sticking
machine to walk. Well, if you don't
want to
keep making lefts and rights, yeah, you need a machine to walk.
Oh, boy.
I guess so.
So that's it.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dinesh from Los Altos, California.
What's your name?
Dinesh.
Dinesh.
Correct.
From where?
Los Altos, California.
Los Altos. Where is Los Altos?
It's right in the heart of Silicon Valley, just south of San Francisco.
So you're a computer nerd, huh?
No, actually, I'm a trader. I used to be a trader. I trade commodity futures, those heating oil and stuff like that.
Oh, you're the guy that fleeced me out of about $5,000 last year.
No kidding.
Soybeans. You do soybeans, too?
No. I don't fleece people for 5,000. I go for the big money.
For the big money.
50,000, 1 million, 5 million.
That's chicken feed, and he trades that, too. Oh, excellent.
So what's going on, Dinesh?
Okay, what's going on is, after doing this crazy trading, my wife and I and a friend of us, we're going to be going to Death Valley next month and try to walk the whole park.
That sounds like a great idea.
That's why they call it Death Valley. Yeah, so the four of you are going over to Death Valley. That's good.
We're going to walk 180 miles.
Really?
We're only going to walk during daytime.
Oh, that's smart, too. That sounds good. Okay, go ahead. We're listening.
And we're going to have three cars. We're going to park one car at the beginning of the day's walking. The second car will be parked at the end of the day's walking. Third car is going to be parked right in the middle of the two cars.
Sure.
And that's where we're going to have our water.
Yeah.
So we're going to start from car number one, walk 7.5 miles,
mm-hmm.
Get some more water from the car, and mm-hmm. continue walking another 7.5 miles till we reach the third car.
And then you go. You all jump in car number three.
Right.
You drive back. You drop one guy off at car number one. He drives it ahead of car number three. And then you pick up car number two, and you drive it 7.5 miles in the middle. And
here's what you do.
And you keep doing this all day.
Here's what you do. You buy four treadmills. And four sun lamps. You can do this whole trip in your backyard.
Yeah.
And have the garden hose there. So is there a question embedded in this insanity?
Yes.
What?
All right, these cars are sitting there in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Now, we are in the north end of Death Valley where hardly anybody ever goes in winter, let alone in summer.
Nobody's crazy enough to go there in the summer, Dinesh.
Another question is, if one of these cars, for some reason, break down, we are in big doo-doo.
Not big, deep.
Jeez.
So what I want to know is, what's likely to happen to these cars that are going to be sitting in 125 degrees for 8 hours a day for 15 days?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No, because you're only going to drive a few miles at a time with them.
No problem?
No. If you were driving all around Death Valley all day long at 130 degree temperatures, you might experience some kind of difficulty. But if it's just mostly sitting there... I mean, think about what if you left it sitting there forever? What would happen to it? The paint would fade.
And the buzzards would eventually...
The buzzards would come.
Eat the car. Now, the biggest danger that you encounter is having the car overheat. As far as it's sitting there, the tires aren't going to get... I mean, what's the average? I mean, how hot could it be? 130 degrees
yeah,
in the sun?
It is.
125 in shade.
In the shade.
In the shade, so maybe 150 in the sun.
Yeah.
What are you, nuts?
Well, you know, I want to be first at something.
Yeah, that's great.
Everything in the world is done. You know, somebody climbed the Everest.
That's
Columbus
right.
discovered America. There's nothing left for me.
So you want to be the first Indian-American whose skeletal remains are found in Death Valley. Is that what it is?
Well, that's okay, too.
That's okay.
That would be a first.
That's
sure.
a first.
You're going to be the first to walk across... Death Valley.
In summer.
In the summer.
In the heat of the summer. We definitely, you know what we need? We need a series of pictures. We need day one when you're at 0 miles.
Yeah.
We need a picture of you and the rest of the group. Okay, yeah. Maybe you can get a lizard to take your picture.
And Guido the guide. So if you would like us to chronicle it for you for the world to see.
Okay.
So that when you reach the end, we can have a big celebration saying that you were the first to do this. Send us a whole series of pictures.
And the log. We want to know everything that's gone
yeah.
on. All your misfortunes, good fortunes.
Exactly.
Well, we better send it every day in case we don't make it.
Of course.
Of course, yes. Yeah. Email us.
Okay, I have one serious question.
Now. Yeah.
Somebody told me I should crack the windows of the car while they are parked there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
What's the reason for that?
Because it's going to get mighty, mighty hot in that car.
As a matter of fact, there are little fans you can buy that are solar-powered that you
yeah.
can stick in the window. So you roll the window down a few inches, and you put this fan in there, and it'll keep the car cool.
Because it'll get hotter inside the car than it is outside.
And you run the risk of blowing out a window if it gets that hot in there.
Exactly.
You may come back and find one of the windows shattered.
So we should crack one or two windows yeah. or all the windows?
Well,
you can leave all the windows wide open. No one's going to steal anything.
Well, with my luck, somebody will be just passing by and take everything.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck.
Dinesh, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you very much,
forward to the pictures.
As they say, nice knowing you.
Bye-bye.
Good luck. I think it's, see, he wants to be first at something. And he made enough money from suckers like you buying pork bellies that he can go do this. He didn't mention that those three cars that he's got, they're all Porsches.
Oh, yeah, we knew that. All right, it's time to take another short break.
Thank God. I mean, I thought you'd never give me a rest. You make me sweat here all day. I'm under a hot microphone, ready to pass out. And then
we'll be back in a minute.
A minute? All I get is a minute?
Oh, jeez.
Shop steward, I want to see the shop steward.
All right.
I'm running hot. Should have got a Chevy instead of a Ford. Yes, I'm running hot. And my fate seems in the hands of the Lord. I can see it now, me stranded by the side. With an amp and a guitar, trying to flag down a ride. People passing by with a grin on their face. And the club owner is thinking I'm lost without a trace. And now I'm running high, overheating.
And even though World Cup soccer players boot their radios into the net whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, for lack of anything better, professional credentials.
Professional credentials, Bill Wolf says. Dear Tom and Ray, a few weeks ago you raised an issue that has been bugging me for a long time. The current glut of ill-mannered, often unemployed PhDs who don't know how to introduce themselves. You quite properly heaped verbal abuse on some poor slob who introduced himself as Dr. So-and-so when calling to beg for free automotive advice. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone attempting such a lame exercise on national radio deserves...
participate in this, but I'm eating a donut right now, so all I can do is go, mm-hmm.
It's okay. Just pay attention here.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a quiz lately. Professionalism, I love it. Contrary to certain references on etiquette, the reason the PhD should refrain from introducing themselves as Dr. Who's-its has nothing to do with propriety or manners. It has to do with avoiding public ridicule by bozos like you guys. Worse, one might actually be called upon to perform an emergency medical procedure like the professor of English who stuck doctor in front of his name on an airplane ticket. He was called from his seat in coach, naturally, to deal with some plumber who was having a heart attack in first class. I love it, but I digress. What prompted me to write this diatribe was the suggestion that one of you guys, Tom, I believe, may actually belong to this august group. Can this be so? If it is, why were you so reticent about flaunting it on the air? It obviously can't be because of good taste, natural modesty, or a sense of propriety. I suspect rather that your reticence, if indeed you are a PhD, reflects the pernicious influence of your brother. Just as many PhDs scheme to rub other people's noses in their academic achievement, many of their less accomplished siblings try to sap their confidence and undermine their efforts at shameless self-promotion. These pathetic spoil sports are jealous. jealous because they obviously lack one quality that binds all PhDs together. Pig-headed persistence in the face of all obstacles. That's true. Tom, if you have a PhD, don't let your rotten brother shame you into hiding it. Take your rightful place among this elite fraternity and brag about it. Subtly, of course. Remember that even if it doesn't help you find a decent job, a PhD can always give you a false sense of confidence and self-esteem. Yours sincerely, Bill. You don't have to call me Dr. Wolf.
Well, I mean,
Wow.
Pernicious, huh? It was innocent enough. I just merely made the statement one day when we had somebody who called and said he was Dr. So-and-so.
Yeah, well, I agree.
I asked if he was a real doctor. And he said, well, no, I'm not a PhD. And I think it's bogus. There ought to be a separate designation, and it should be, hi, I'm Joe Blow, PhD, but I think it is awfully presumptuous if you were a PhD in art history to introduce yourself as doctor.
Yeah.
The title doctor should be reserved for physicians.
Sure.
Anything that involves blood. If you do work with blood, you can call yourself a doctor.
Yeah, no, I go along with that.
Yeah, so veterinarians qualify.
Veterinarians, definitely a doctor.
Dentists, they do lots of blood.
Dentists do blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You work with blood and, guts.
Blood and guts.
You're a doctor.
I'm a doctor of blood and guts.
Other than that.
What are you a doctor of?
Other than that, you're
artistry.
You're a bum.
You're a bum. I'm with it.
All right, from now on, that's the new criteria. Anyway, look, we will not have a new puzzler, which is normally what we do around now. The puzzler, of course, is on summer vacation for 6 months.
Yeah, you notice when the fall comes around, there's always some question of when is the puzzler coming back? September.
Comes, well, you know, October. I'll tell you what always happens. There's usually a training camp injury. I mean, the puzzler falls down a flight of stairs.
It happens.
You know, breaks a finger. Yeah. I mean, anything.
The plane is late.
Sure. Visa problems.
Visa problems.
The passport can't come. The can't get its passport and come back from Venezuela. So these things happen, and the puzzler gets detained.
Yeah. But what about the people who live for your new puzzler every week? The people who live lives of quiet desperation, struggling through each day, only to get to the weekend where they can work on your carefully crafted conundrum. What about them? I mean, what about them?
Hey, tough! Now, look, during the puzzler's vacation, every week we'll be posting a good puzzler from the Car Talk past on our website. So those of you who need a fix, you can always head on over to our website, cartalk.com. But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything, but preferably your car, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Ann Hendricks in Lexington, Kentucky.
Hi, Ann from Lexington, Kentucky. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
Is it an Ann without an E on the end?
No E.
No E. That's what I wrote on my little scrap of paper here.
You're so smart. Good job.
So what's up, Ann?
Well, my car, I suspect, it's in sad state. Actually, it's not that bad if I would just take it to the mechanics, but I'm scared.
Oh, you should be.
We will help you, our child.
The thing is, it's an 83 Nissan Maxima wagon.
How many miles on it?
Somewhere around like 100,000. Not that many.
Not that many.
No.
Okay.
Well, because it's been sitting parked for a year now.
Yeah.
What happened was the head gaskets kept busting, which is a big pain, and finally we figured out that my head was cracked, and that's why the head gaskets kept busting.
That'll do it.
Right, so I spent $1,100 of my student loan money putting in a new head. Right. Oh, so I found out after I spent all this money, whenever I'm in town and I'm driving it, like slowing down, or I'll be like at an intersection and I'll put on the gas to like cross the intersection and the car will die halfway across the intersection. I have almost been killed innumerable times trying to cross busy roads with this car.
Oh, so
I'm terrified.
So it hesitates when you accelerate.
It dies.
And will cut out.
It dies completely for a good 5 minutes until the engine cools and then it will start again. Now, my question for you is, really, the mechanic said, oh, we'll go back over our work, all this work we did changing the head. And if it's our fault, then we'll fix it for free, which is great.
But it didn't do this before they did this?
No.
I mean, it's possible.
Could timing be wrong or something? Or they got some carbon in something? Or?
Well, the timing certainly could be wrong. If I'm not mistaken, this is a straight six-cylinder engine this car has.
Yeah.
And it has a timing chain. And it's very possible that they've put the chain on wrong.
Right.
In which case, not only would the ignition timing be off, but the valve timing would be off, which could make the thing hesitate.
But it would make it run kind of lousy, too.
It does. She didn't tell us that.
Does it run kind of lousy when it's, I mean, does it feel like it's bouncing all over the place under there?
Gee whiz.
Gee whiz. This is a crucial question, Ann.
Yes, it shows evidence of a coming problem before the car dies.
Oh, it does. It starts running badly.
Yes, when I stop it.
But why are you afraid to go back and see these guys?
Well,
they said that if they did something wrong, they'll fix it for nothing.
Well, that's great, but see, it might be a different problem, in which case it'd be lots and lots of money.
Well, maybe it is, but maybe it isn't.
Oh, but see, I spent all my money on a new laptop, so I don't have any money. So I need to know if I need to save up some cash.
Well, I think you need to save up some cash.
But you may not need a car at all.
What?
You didn't need a car for the last year.
No, I've had my parents' car for the last year, and they're feeling abused. They're feeling abused because I spent my money on the laptop rather than getting my car fixed and returning them their car.
Well, that was kind of irresponsible of you, was it not?
I know. Well.
Well, I think, Ann, that you're going to have to go back to them. You're going to have to hope that either they put the timing chain on incorrectly or there's a vacuum leak. And it might be something simple, and a vacuum leak could certainly cause this problem. You know, this thing has an air mass meter and a rubber snorkel that connects it to the manifold, and it's possible that that snorkel is loose, or there's a hole somewhere, or there's an intake manifold gasket that didn't seat right. So it could be relatively cheap to fix.
Yeah, and if it didn't do this at all before they put in the new head,
not at all. It had all kinds of other problems.
Then it's possible they left something off, or they did something wrong, as my brother has just described, and you got to go back. And, I mean, either they give you good news, oh, yeah, there was just this little hose that we forgot to connect, or they say, oh, I'm sorry to tell you, Ann, but blah, blah, blah. And then where are you? You have to just continue driving your parents' car or sell the laptop, but it's not the end of the world.
Not to mention, okay, so you think I could get more money for the laptop than for selling the car, huh?
Oh, definitely, yeah. But I would say that there's a good chance that it's going to cost next to nothing to fix.
Yeah, I think so, too. And try to barter if it costs more than you've got. Maybe you can offer to do something for the guys at the shop that you can use your laptop for.
No,
you know
if you want. I do massage.
Ah, well, what more could you ask?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Mechanics are very stressed. These guys could use massage. While they're bent over the car, you can massage their shoulders.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Make a deal, and you'll have both the car and the laptop and your parents off your back.
See you, Ann.
What could be better?
Good luck.
Well, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Steven from Berkeley, California.
With a V or a PH?
A V.
I put a PH. From Berkeley.
Berkeley.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
I have a 1986 Isuzu Trooper. And I go on a camping trip with my family a couple times a year. And this year we were up in the Sierra Nevada mountains. And I had to cross this wonderful stream to get to the other side of this granite ledge, and I, you know, put it in four-wheel low, and I go across the stream. It's about 50 feet across, 60. And just when I get to the other side, and it's the water's up just a, you know, mid-wheel level, it gets real deep real quick, and I drop down, and the water actually splashed over the hood for a second, then I popped out onto the ledge.
Ooh.
With my kids cheering behind me.
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly what the ads show.
Oh, if only the film crew had been there.
Great. I mean, just crossing the creek there was enough. Oh, man.
And I was amazed the car was still running, and water didn't come in the doors. And then I, you know, my wife, I don't know if she wanted to cheer me or kill me. But we went back. And
you had to cross the stream, Stephen? I mean...
Well, I didn't really
You didn't really. I mean, you could have gone to, like, 50 yards up the road and there was a bridge, right?
Yeah, well, no, there wasn't a bridge, but I could have probably gone... I should have probably gotten out and looked around, and I went, what the hell? What's the worst thing that could happen?
Right. It's an 86
What's
trooper.
What's the worst thing that can happen?
That's right.
I mean, I'm surprised that you lived.
Well, not because of the stream. Your wife.
You're right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you drop down, the water splashes up over the hood, and luckily you've got enough traction to have the front wheels just make it onto the ledge, and up you go.
That's right.
See, women get ticked off when you endanger their children.
That's right.
Oh,
not
man.
Your children.
Yeah.
That's true.
They're her children.
They're her children, and man, they can get vicious.
Oh, I'll never forget the time. Never mind.
Well, I'll tell you a time, because it happened to me just the other day. My buddy Vito called me up last week, and he says, you busy? I said, no. He says, want to go to the motorcycle store and look around? I say, pick me up. So he and his son Nico pick me up, and we drive up the street to the motorcycle store. And here's two old geezers with gray hair and this young kid. And, man, they were all over us. I mean, talk about live ones.
Oh, figured you guys had the dough.
75% of the people who drive motorcycles have gray hair and ponytails.
Right.
And the other 25% are 25-year-old kids, which is what his son is. I mean, they said, we're selling three-somethings.
Right.
So we started to look, and we look around, and, man, I had to sit on everything and try it out, and they gave us all the sales pitch because they knew we were live ones. I came back home, and my wife says, where you been? Yeah, well, we're up the street. We were just up the street, you know. And someone lets it leak where we were. She says, you buy a motorcycle, and I'm out of here. And I said, what do you mean? She says, because if you buy a motorcycle, you will somehow tell your son, who's 18, that it's okay to drive a motorcycle, and it isn't.
Yeah, you don't have to even use words. Just the fact that you own one.
Just the fact that you're
telling him.
Even the fact that I went to the store was enough. She said, you do that, and it's goodbye.
I'm going to miss you, huh?
I mean, how many alimonies can one guy pay?
Yeah, that's true.
In any event, she got pretty vicious because it was her son whose life I was endangering by my foolishness and stupidity.
Yes.
Poof. So you survived that.
I survived that.
All right. Well. So anyway, what, you have a question? Come on, we're running out of time.
Who are we talking to?
My question is this. I get back and tell my harrowing story to my friends and stuff.
And all the guys say, whoa, cool, man.
Cool. And then one guy says, well, you know, you might have gotten water into the transfer case and the transmission, and because there's cooling vents in there and various other places in the brakes, and it might be doing damage to your engine. And I'm like, Oh no, disregard that.
You didn't do damage to anything.
If water could get into the transfer case, then the oil in the transfer case would be coming out all the time.
Oh.
And water can't get in there. Water can get in the brakes, but it's supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, it rains.
I mean, you drive through puddles.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Right. Yeah. The only thing you'd have to be afraid of is if you sucked water up into the engine through the intake. And if you did that, you'd have known it in a second.
Your car would have stopped.
Because you would have been swimming.
You'd still be there paddling.
And it's tough. It's tough to swim when your wife is giving you dope slaps.
You don't have anything to worry about except your wife.
Yeah, you're right.
And believe me, that represents a greater danger than anything you could possibly do to the car.
But you didn't do any damage, because if you had, you'd have known it right away.
Okay.
So don't worry. All those things can survive what you did.
Okay.
Good luck, Steven.
See you, Steve.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye, you guys.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Valparaiso Veal Venison Vouvray and Vegemite Veg Out, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our arbitration expert is Viola Fuss. Mm. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. The director of our Alpine Choir is O. Leo Leahy. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before. Our helpline operator is Don Bother Me. Our chicken soup provisioner is Kent Hoyt. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter.
Kent Hoyt.
I like Kent Hoyt myself. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Marcel Marceau wannabes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
That's what I said. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1428, find classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, is it finally time for a new car?
You buying?
No. But if you're shopping for a new car this summer, remember that this station can make great use of your old one. So consider donating your car through the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. You get a tax deduction, and your station will use the proceeds to make more of the programs you love. Find out how you can participate right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR moves its studios and forgets to tell us again whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.